All right, welcome back to another edition of Hey Fightin' Podcast, presented by Marathon Petroleum. Get the most out of your drive.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got to throw some more juice into that. All we right. Just beat the Florida Gators. Here we go.
Welcome back to another edition of Hey Fightin' Podcast, presented by Marathon Petroleum. Get the most out of your drive. Harrison Valentine, Jacob Hester, coming to you after LSU wins their fifth straight over the Florida Gators, led by the best player in college football, Heisman contender, Heisman frontrunner. And I have a graphic here, 5 in a row, 6 out of the last 7, 9 out of the last 11, 11 out of the last 14. But who's counting, Hester? It's great to be an LSU Tiger.
It's always great to be an LSU Tiger, but especially after a victory 5 times in a row now against the Florida Gators. It is a team in which you've played since the late 60s every single year, and it is now a series that is in your favor. 34 wins, only 33 losses. 3 ties as well, but you know what 34 is? It's greater than 33.
Before we get into the game, I want to talk about some other things. First, let's talk about Matt Flynn, who we cannot call a front runner anymore because now he's not even showing up when we win. So, and I believe he submitted his letter of resignation this morning via text.
Yeah.
He texted me, he fired himself from the podcast.
Which I don't think he has the power to do. And do not look at this hat that I'm wearing. Don't go to drinkmyhigh.com, okay? Because that was the deal. I wear the hat on the podcast and he shows up. He's not here. So you do what you want to do. If you want to stay hydrated, I get it. But I'm just going to cover it up the rest of the podcast.
And then one more thing. How's your buddy Chris Doran doing? After the public humiliation on, what was it, 5th year in a row, though?
5th year in a row, but really the 6th in a row because of the baseball bat, where he had to wear the full LSU baseball uniform through the Gainesville airport on his way to SEC Media Days in Nashville. He had to wear a turkey costume if you didn't see it. And he had to interview our head coach, Brian Kelly, via Zoom so BK could see him as well in a full turkey costume. CD, one of my best friends in this world. You're very smart. You've got a great mortgage company there in Gainesville. You have a great TV career. Stop doing this to yourself. It's just not going your way. And I don't see it going your way anytime soon.
Got to give him credit, though. Man of his word. He doesn't back away. I saw Peter Burns on the field on Saturday, too, who I'm sure gave him some crap as well. But definitely a man of his word, and I respect that for sure. Story of the night. I'm tempted to just make this a Jaden Daniels for Heisman campaign podcast and just talk for hours about why he should be the award winner. And if he didn't win it Saturday, he definitely punched his ticket to the Big Apple. I know LSU has 3 losses, but this isn't really unprecedented territory. I think I was talking to Cody yesterday, 15 or so winners in history have won the award with 3 or more losses. So this isn't something that's just, you know, out of the blue. And it doesn't go, you know, BK made his case after the game on Saturday. He got to the podium and really made his case for his player. It doesn't go to the best player on the best team. It goes to the best player, period.
Right.
And Jaden Daniels has been the best player. He was the story of the night, like I told you, accounting for just a whopping 606 yards of total offense alone, netting 372 yards and 3 touchdowns to the air, 234 yards rushing, and 2 scores with his legs. Just video game numbers. Also becoming the first player in FBS history to record 350 yards passing, 200 yards. I mean, this is so much to talk about. He's just breaking video game numbers, setting the SEC single game record for total offense, doing things we've never seen before, making it look easy, making it look effortless. And with all due respect to the other candidates, I think if anybody else wins the award, it will be because of team success. And you can't really say because even in the losses, he's
been great.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah. He hasn't been the reason for the 3 losses. He's probably been the reason for a couple of wins for LSU. Anytime, Harrison, you're talking about doing something for the first time, we've played college football for a very, very long time, right? Over 150 years. And when you do something for the first time in FBS history that's never been done, and you also do it against a conference rival. You do it against the Florida Gators, and I don't really care where Florida's at right now as a program. They still have Jimmys and Joes all over the place because they're Florida. They recruit like that. And when you do it against them, it makes it even more special. When you're setting records, it seems like every single week, like you deserve to not only be in New York City, but you deserve to be the leader, in my opinion, in the clubhouse. Now, I can't get into too much detail because I am a Heisman voter, but he should be there, and he should be somebody that has strong consideration to be the next Heisman Trophy winner, because it's an individual award. That's what it is. It doesn't go to the best player on the best team. It goes to the best player in the country. That's what it's for. And Jaden Daniels has been the best player in the country to date this year, right? When you have the losses, you have to be a statistical outlier. Well, that's what he's been. Everything that we're talking about, I mean, plays of 20 plus yards. I mean, he's got like 20 more than Michael Penix Jr. and others. Like, he is doing every highest quarterback rating. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Same thing we do with like Malik Nabers and maybe the Biletnikoff. Like, the things he's doing right there, like, he is the guy that is the outlier. He is number one in yards. He is number one in Pro Football Focus grade. Same thing with Jaden. He is dominating games. Now, you know, the team does have three losses, but again, I think the important part is, in those losses, how did he fare? Well, he played incredibly well. The Ole Miss game, right? We all know what he did. He put himself in a position to throw a pass into the end zone with a chance to win that game. And so what he's doing is rare. It is special. And yeah, you know, another Heisman Trophy winner for LSU. I think a lot of people would like to see that, but it's not just because it's going to be given. I think it's earned. He deserves the right to be there. And my entire thing initially was, just don't leave him out. Like, I want him to win the Heisman, sure, but just don't leave him out. And I think he's done so much that he's put himself in a position, Harrison, yep, where they cannot deny it. 100%. Even like the biggest naysayer with the three losses or whatever the narrative was, you can't deny it anymore. He will absolutely be in New York City.
Yeah, I totally agree. You talked about being a statistical outlier, and shout out to Jack Marucci, who literally just texted me as we were doing the podcast with a graphic of how he is a statistical outlier. Let's look at this. Touchdown passes, 30, ranks number one in the country. Yards per attempt, 11.2, ranks number one in the country.
Y'all, that is an incredibly high number. Like, even if you don't know maybe that stat and what's good, what's bad, if you're at an 11, that's like ridiculous. That's like a top Mount Everest. He's averaging more than a first down every time he throws the football. So just trust me when I say this, appreciate that stat.
Unbelievable. Explosive throws percentage, 9.4%, ranks number one in the country. Quarterback rating, 134.2, ranks number one in the country. Yards, rush yards per carry, 10.57, ranks number one in the country. Explosive run percentage, 39%, ranks number one in the country. Estimated points added, which is a metric that Jack taught me about yesterday, 39%, which ranks number one in the country. Estimated points total rush, number one in the country. Deep ball accuracy of 20 plus throws, number one in the country. Estimated points added total passing, number one in the country. And total yards, 4,082, number one in the country. So there's a trend there. The Missouri game was obviously one where I thought he was explosive. The Alabama first half was one where I thought he looked like a Heisman front runner. Ole Miss, you talked about him playing well in losses. He did everything he could in that game. But Saturday was really his Heisman moment, I thought. And I thought maybe he was a contender coming into that game, and I thought he left the field a front runner, in my opinion.
The things that he did in that game, running the football, like the 85-yarder, was highly impressive just because of the top-end speed. But the one that he had was 50-plus yards, one of the most impressive plays I've seen on any football field, not just this year but in recent memory, and the way that he was able to continue to find the cut. And it was a pump fake that really just kind of stopped the defense in their tracks. And then, right, because he wasn't looking to run. Like, that's what the play called for. And then just to knife your way through that defense into the end zone.
It looks so smooth when he runs.
Incredibly smooth.
He, glides through the
air. I mean, what he's able to do with his legs, yes, but his arm and the throws that he's making this year, I mean, it is generational type stuff that we're seeing. I mean, he's been here for 2 years, and he's top 20 all-time career rushers in LSU history. You know how I know? Because I was 20th. He just passed me up this last weekend. He is, like, dynamic in everything that he does. He's been here not even a full two seasons. And think about all the great running backs that LSU's had in their history. He is now in the top 20 rushers in LSU history. I mean, look at what he's doing through the air and the improvements that he's made there, going through his progressions, his deep ball accuracy. I mean, I think I saw a stat. He's like 72% on throws 20-plus yards completion percentage.
Yeah.
That 72% is great for the year, like in any metric. The fact that you're pushing the ball down the field and completing 72% of those, that's something that stands alone.
He's similar to Joe and not similar to Joe in a few aspects. Similar in that good 2018, great 2019. Joe came in, you know, had a good, solid 2018, but obviously became the best player we've ever seen in 2019. Similar to Jaden in that 18. Had a few games that were kind of just coming out party, nothing to the magnitude that we've seen this year. But Joe hadn't played as much in when he was at Ohio State. Jaden has. He had a ton of experience at Ohio State, which I think says a lot about the player development, the coaching at LSU. And Brian Kelly had a great comment at his Monday presser in that you're starting to see a trend at LSU with quarterback development. You look at Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels. He said it's not as much an accident, but a trend in some of the QB development that they're having here in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and also, like, you have to give, like, different coaching staffs credit. I mean, two different coaching staffs, but they've developed these players. But also, when you look at what Louisiana can produce, what's one thing that they always produce? It's skilled players. It's receivers. I mean, we can go across the board. Both the receivers right now, Louisiana guys, both those receivers, all three of those receivers in 2019, right? All Louisiana guys. I mean, Odell Beckham and Jarvis, and we can go back and back, all these guys. Now, OBJ and Jarvis didn't have maybe the situation with the offense. It was more of a running offense, but they're going to produce receivers. And if you can develop a quarterback, Harrison, to throw to those guys, you're going to have special runs like this. And development of the quarterback position has been fantastic. I mean, let's call it like it is. It was a graveyard for a long time for LSU football. And now it's something where you're putting up what, like, Oklahoma was doing with Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts and those guys. Like, I never thought LSU would be there, but that's where you're trending right now. And that's important. It's important in recruiting. It's important in the transfer portal. It's important in all aspects of trying to develop that quarterback position, knowing you're going to have weapons. You are going to have those Jimmys and Joes that we talk about on the outside. That's just what Louisiana produces. It's going to be defensive backs. It's going to be receivers. It's going to be running backs. It's going to be those skilled position players. And so now you're having quarterback performances kind of match that. And, I mean, Joe Sloan, the job that he's done, and Mike Denbrock, but Joe Sloan working with those quarterbacks every single day. And you got it in Garrett Nussmeier as a backup. When he comes in, he looks ready to go. Certainly, Jaden, the improvements that he's made throwing the football, going through his progressions, knowing when to pass, knowing when to pull it down and run. I mean, it is incredible, the job that they've done. Everybody, the totality of everything. Jaden's work ethic, right? We've heard about that this year, getting in the building early. Joe Sloan, BK, Mike Denbrock coming up with that plan that we've heard about as well. If you're going to come back, here's what we need to do. And they've worked their butts off to get that executed.
Let's get into this game a little bit. LSU wins 52-35. Kind of a weird sequence. Both teams started fast and then it slowed down a little bit in the first quarter. It was kind of funny. It was a little bit of a defensive slugfest early. Didn't feel great taking just 3-point lead into the half. But this was a 38-35 game with 9 minutes left to go, which I think if you look at the final score is a little bit deceiving. But Daniels hit Brian Thomas in the end zone with a deep ball, and the Tigers really never looked back. Thought the defense did what they had to do, forced some turnovers, made some key stops when they had to.
We kind of knew what this game was going to be. We knew it was going to be whatever the over was, that they were going to soar over it, and they did. And Florida's offense has been pretty good this year. I mean, you look at Ricky Pearsall, you look at the running backs they have, Graham Mertz. I know a lot of people want to say empty calorie games, but he's still been out there and been successful. I think he's more than that. The defense did show up better in the second half, but you always felt like, and LSU's had this in recent memory, those offensive performances that it doesn't really matter what's going to happen. As long as they've got the ball last, they were going to find a way. Like, even in the Ole Miss game, like, I know you didn't, but it felt like you were going to find a way to win that game. and the defense did what they had to do. They did just enough, and it's a couple of performances of guys that, like Toviano, as a true freshman, these reps that he's getting are so valuable for his future, which looks bright as hell right now in an LSU uniform. And so I understand that there are still issues on the defense, but second half, I think what they only gave up a touchdown, right, in the second half, if yep. I'm not mistaken, right? So you kind of bowed your neck there in the second half. You allowed your offense to get a couple of possessions up, and this offense was never going to be stopped. And so that's why we always talk about, you don't have to be number one defense in the country, stout as hell, give up 9 points a game. Would you like to be that pair with this number one offense? Absolutely. But a lot of times it doesn't work out like that. You just have to be good enough. You just have to get enough stops. That's why we talked about it with the Bama game. Hey, get 4 stops. Give your offense a chance. And I realize that to an old school LSU fan, that doesn't sound like a recipe for success, but your offense has been that good. You just have to stand up and stand tall when it matters the most. And for the second half, that's what mattered the most in this game, and you held them to 7 points.
I want to give Malik Nabers some love as well. I think there's so much talk about Jaden and what he's doing, and rightfully so, but do not want to overshadow what Malik has done this year. He's 282 yards away from 3,000 career receiving yards, which would make him the 8th player in SEC history and the 2nd in LSU history to reach the milestone. So it just takes so much pressure off of a quarterback when you know somebody like Malik and Brian are down there somewhere. I think the Biletnikoff race is similar to the Heisman in that I think Marvin Harrison will get a lot of the publicity, but Nabers will have better stats in the end. And I stole some stats from you that you posted on your Twitter account.
I was about to pull them up. You already got
them. Yeah, and yards, 1,284, first in the country. Receptions, 72. Which is number 7 in the country. Touchdowns, number 10, or touchdowns 10, number 7 in the country. Yards per catch, 17.8. Yards per game, 128.4. That is a ridiculous and gaudy stat.
Also best in the country.
Best in the country, and his PFF grade is 93.2, which is also best in the country. So the numbers don't lie. Malik Nabers, best receiver in the country.
I think he is, and that's no, like, I don't want to throw shade at any of the receivers that are still, like, in that category. And Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way, love the way he plays. I think he's a stud receiver. He's going to play for as long as he wants to in the NFL. So having this conversation is not a slight at them. It's just kind of giving you an idea of how good Malik Nabers has been. And for some reason, some have been reluctant maybe to give him that title, but words lie, numbers don't. I always say that. And he just gave you all of the numbers right there.
Do you think that's record as well for like a award like a receiver? Record comes into play?
It shouldn't. I sometimes in these awards, you know, the offseason narrative looms large.
Yep.
And there's a lot of times, and LSU's benefited from it in the past, right? There's been players that their season before was probably better than the season they won the award. And so, again, I'm not calling out anybody, but the numbers that Malik Nabers is putting up also – you know, you company that with the numbers that Brian Thomas Jr. is putting up as well. How do you not put Malik Nabers into that conversation of best receiver in the country? I mean, they're telling you yards, yes. They're telling you yards per game, yes. I mean, you're one of the best in the country in touchdowns. You average almost 18 yards per catch, and you've graded out the highest. That's not me and Harrison grading out Malik Nabers. That is an independent group, Pro Football Focus, watching the tape, knowing what the coverage is, knowing how you have to run your route, contested catches, all of those things, and they've graded him number one in the country. Over thousands of receivers are in this category, and he is number one. And so you can have a couple of things happen at the same time. You can have Marvin Harrison Jr. be a really good receiver that does so much for his team. The Penn State game, he was the guy. But you can have that truth and also have the truth that Malik Nabers deserves to be in that same conversation with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Two more chances to watch both Daniels and Malik Nabers in Tiger Stadium. So take advantage while you can. Don't take these guys for granted. LSU, Georgia State, 7 p.m., another Saturday night in Death Valley. And then we come back a week later for a bright and early 11 a.m. kickoff against Texas A&M. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of Georgia State or break down this matchup. What are you most looking for at LSU for the next two games and how they can improve and hopefully get to a good bowl game?
Look, for me, like selfishly, I want to see exactly what you just said. Guys that are only going to have a couple of more opportunities, right? We know Malik Nabers, probably not going to be here next year. He's going to have a high, high draft grade, okay? We know Jaden's not going to be here. Appreciate what you have. Also, I want to see them, like, continue to push for these postseason awards, because what that means individually, obviously, you put yourself into those categories as a Heisman winner, Biletnikoff winner, like, that lasts forever. They can't take those things away from you. Even when they try, a.k.a., you know, Reggie Bush situation, Reggie won that Heisman, so they can't take those things away from you. And also what it can do for you as a program. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm on the streets recruiting, and I've had, in the last 5 years, I've had two Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. That goes a long way in high school and transfer portal. Like, that just sets you up to maybe have conversations that normally you wouldn't be able to have at LSU because of how the quarterback situation was for a long time. And those things mean a lot to your program development, your program growth. And so you get a couple more times to see some really good LSU Tigers for their final time in Tiger Stadium. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing what they can add to their resumes trying to go get these postseason awards. And you still are lining up for the chance to win 10 games with a bowl victory.
Don't want to overstep Georgia State, but how does the 11 a.m. kick, do you think it positively impacts Jaden coming after College game day and all that and maybe getting some more eyes, or do you think it negatively impacts his Heisman candidacy? I think he's got to go off either way.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to. I don't think it helps. I can't sit here and tell you that it helps, because also remember the game, and that's what that rivalry is called.
I was
Ohio State, Michigan, it's called the game, and that's going to be the same kickoff, and that's going to be between two undefeated teams with a spot probably at the college football playoff on the line. No disrespect to who wins the Big Ten West. I don't expect Iowa to beat either one of those teams. So you're going to have a lot of the country watching that game. And so I think actually the time, you'll still get some viewers. It's the SEC. They'll tune in for the, you know, Jimbo Fisher's no longer at A&M part of the conversation as well. But you probably lose some eyeballs just because you have what's probably going to be the most watched game of the year on at the same time. And so I would have loved for this game to have been, you know, at night. I don't worry about the early kick, you know, affecting the play on the field. But as far as, like, eyeballs and Jaden Daniels and how many more Heisman moments because you're not going to play in conference championship weekend, I can't get up here and create an argument that would make sense, because I do think that you lose some.
Or he has another Heisman-type game and his highlights play the entire day and people watch his highlights the entire day.
Glass half full.
Yes.
Harrison.
Next week we'll have the week off. Happy Thanksgiving to all. And I think Matt Flynn is done for the count on this podcast, but I think you're stuck with me and Hester. But let's go get 10 wins. Let's go finish the season strong and put together two 10-win seasons in Brian Kelly's first two seasons, which is nothing to scoff at, I think, in my opinion. But excited to see where the rest of the season goes.
Yeah, I think there's still things that in this season, you mentioned 10 wins, yes, but there's things in this season that you can get done that are going to pay off in the future and in the near future as soon as next year with some individual things that you can do. You know, we've talked about Jaden and Malik and just some different situations that I think truly can set up LSU to do a couple of things here in the near future in recruiting and whatever the situation might be. So there's still a lot to play for in the purple and gold.
Should we read how many times we've beaten the Gators one more time before we go?
Yeah, go ahead.
5 in a row, 6 out of the last 7, 9 out of the last 11, 11 out of the last 14. I didn't want to waste that opportunity.
11 out of the last 14. Time. And also, series lead, that's now in Baton Rouge.
Yep. 34, 33, and 3. I got it right on this podcast this time. Remember last time I butchered it?
Yeah, well, you know, you took the Wikipedia, I did find out.
Didn't update.
I think it's like they took some wins away.
Gotcha.
Situation.
Vacated?
Yeah, some vacated wins for LSU. But look, I mean, we go to Wincipedia here because those games were played, and you know who won? LSU.
5 in a row over the Gators. LSU's got Georgia State next, Texas A&M, and that will round out the regular season. Thanks to Hester. Thanks to Marathon Petroleum for helping us get the most out of our drive. And thank you for listening to the latest episode of Hey Fighting Podcast.
Like nights of old, we fight to hold the glory of the purple and gold. Come on, you Tigers. I said fight, fight, fight. Victory for LSU. We are number one. Victory. Baton Rouge.